activities that have the potential to lead you to your own unique form of leadership mastery in your work, Ty explained.
And in your life, Blake, Tommy added. The two are always interconnected. As Gandhi once said, one cannot do right in life whilst occupied in doing wrong in another area. Life is one invisible whole. Your personal life always spills into your work life and vice versa.
Tommy's quite right, Blake. I know you'll be learning some powerful ideas on life balance near the end of your day, but for now, I urge you to concentrate all your focus on just the few activities that will help you to close in on your most essential priorities. By working in the way I'm suggesting to you, you'll shift from days filled with stress and complexity to hours rich with productivity and simplicity. And unbelievably, since you'll be doing fewer things better, you'll actually have a lot more time.
To be practical, Ty continued, munching on more of his sandwich, here's what I suggest you do. Every morning, before you go off into the world, take some quiet time for yourself. During that period, make the time to think. Sometimes you need to slow down to speed up. Thinking in silence while the rest of the world is asleep is an excellent discipline for exceptional performance. Self-reflection creates intensity of clarity. And the more clear you can be on your best opportunities and your biggest moves, the more speedily you'll reach your mountaintops. This practice alone will shift you from being busy into becoming masterful at producing intelligent results. And related to your morning quiet time is the incredibly valuable habit of daily goal setting. Did Anna teach you about the Daily Five, Blake?
She did. Great tool. One of the best leadership tactics I've learned so far, actually, Ty.
Splendid. So every day I recommend you write out your Daily Five. That will focus you beautifully on your core priorities. Goal setting and committing your intentions to paper so that they become vivid and real versus vague generalities not only builds accountability to your priorities, but it also actually causes the release of positive energy, which helps you deliver your results even more quickly.
And the A? I asked, sensing Ty was ready to move on to the next piece in his SPARK acronym to help me apply the Turbulent Times Build Great Leaders principle of the Lead Without a Title philosophy.
It stands for the notion that adversity breeds opportunity. One of the best things I can share with you is the idea that every setback carries with it an even greater opportunity. Every curse has a corresponding blessing. Every seeming failure brings with it some gift, some doorway that if you have the eyes to see it and the courage to walk through it, will make you even more successful than you were before the difficulty. When it's dark enough, you can see the stars, goes an old proverb.
What I'm really encouraging you to remember is that each piece of adversity also carries with it a new source of good, and that for every dream that dies, a better one can come to life. You just need to retrain your brain to re-perceive it that way. Problems are really nothing more than platforms for even brighter possibilities. In truth, no condition is either bad or good, it just is. The way we perceive it makes it bad or good. The excellent news is that perception is within our control.
When one door closes, another opens? I wondered aloud.
Sort of. It's not just that when you get knocked down, another door opens up to you, dude. It's really that the new door that opens actually represents a chance to take you to an even more remarkable place than the one you were at before you got knocked down. Crises contain exceptional opportunity. Remember that the strongest and most powerful of leaders were all built by struggle and setback. Adversity unleashes noble boldness in each of us if we allow it to. Getting bloodied, discouraged, and knocked down are just parts of the process of doing business during these times of dramatic change. The key isn't whether you'll face challenges, you will. The real key is what you'll do with difficulties and how quickly you'll get back up. And also, please understand that without having walked through the valley of darkness, you just might find that reaching the mountaintop is a hollow victory.
You know, you're right, Ty. I felt best about the things I had to sacrifice the most for. I think the most valuable victories in life were the hardest ones to reach.
And adversity can actually be a tool to help you soar to even greater achievement and happiness. We could never learn to be brave and patient if there were only joy in the world, wrote Helen Keller. Leadership is about leveraging hard times and using them to your advantage, actually seeing obstacles as blessings in disguise. It takes practice to think like that, but I know you'll get there, Blake. I'm confident of that.
Thanks for saying that, Ty. I sure don't want to play victim anymore. And after today, I'm sure I won't. Today's probably the most inspired I've been in ages. I feel hopeful again. I feel strong again. I feel powerful again. I sense that my life has meaning and purpose now. I now know that I can lead and make a profound difference through my work, even though I don't have a title. But I want to be honest with you. Everything I've learned today makes so much sense, and it all sounds so doable. But what if when I get up tomorrow, and I'm all alone in my apartment, and that voice of fear you said screamed through your head at the top of the mountain comes creeping back into my mind? What if I start leading without a title and people laugh at me, as they usually do? Or what if I do what's being suggested, but I just can't let go of the memories that have been haunting me from the war or my past?
Hey, thanks for being so real with us, dude. That's a pretty brave way to be. You just might have a lot more strength than you're giving yourself credit for. It takes a ton of security to speak about your insecurities. And the moment you become aware of your fears by putting words to them, is the moment they lose a lot of the power they hold over you. To answer your questions, first, I'd suggest you not allow the opinions of others to get the best of you. Second, KMF,
Ty instructed mysteriously. KMF?
Keep moving forward. KMF. I repeat that to myself all the time when I feel stuck. The secret to moving through hard times is to just keep moving forward. The singer Joan Baez put it perfectly. Action is the antidote to despair. In challenging conditions, just stay in movement. Just keep making the smartest choices you can and taking as much action as humanly possible. Just keep making progress, no matter how hard it seems, and stay out of stuck. Act your way out of the adverse conditions. Remember, every single positive action has to yield a positive consequence, even if you don't see the good result immediately. That's a natural law, dude. Excellent actions in negative conditions must eventually yield excellent results.
Very helpful. Very, very helpful. Just stay in movement when I start to doubt and sabotage myself, I muttered.
Sometimes success isn't about making the right decision. It's more about making some decision and then moving it forward with speed and elegance,
Ty indicated as he stretched his arms out and drew in a deep breath of air. I guessed it was some technique he'd learned as an elite athlete to stay energized.
The fact is, avoiding deciding is a decision. Standing frozen and blindsided amid change is a decision. Doing nothing is a decision. Always be in movement. Never stand stuck. The Japanese say it well. Get knocked down 7 times, get up 8. When you find that you feel discouraged and like you just want to give up, keep moving forward. KMF. Step ahead, even if you're not quite sure where you're going. Forward movement has power. Doing 0 in the face of turbulent times is the worst thing you can do. Stagnation is the beginning of death's icy grip, man. Trust me on that one as well.
Part of what you're telling me is to just persist when times get hard and I face adversity, isn't it, Ty?
Yup. Persistence and patience. 2 extraordinary leadership virtues to get you through challenging and change-rich times. Like I told you earlier when we were talking about me teaching skiers how to get better, you need to exercise these 2 qualities to manage the change and move through the transition from where you once played the game to where you've always wanted to be. It's amazing how far you can get when you decide that you simply will not give up, that failure isn't an option, that you are a person who simply refuses to lose. Winston Churchill said it so well. Never give in. Never, 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 never. In nothing great or small, large or petty. Never give in, except to convictions of honor and good sense. And by the way, it's better to go down in fiery failure because you chased your loftiest ambitions than to spend your best hours watching television in some subdivision.
Now I need to write that one down, Ty, I said with an appreciative smile. I reached for a slip of paper on the counter and jotted down Ty's quote. He continued,
In my business, I have that attitude that if I get knocked down 7 times, I'll simply get up 8 times. That's kind of the ratio I use to counter hardship. 8 rises for every 7 knockdowns. And if a wall shows up, and it's a wall that blocks me from a goal that's important to me, I do absolutely whatever it takes to climb over that wall, or go around it, or under it, or right through it. I just don't give up, man. I get knocked down, I get bloodied, and just wipe off the blood and keep trying to get to the other side of the wall that's standing between me and the goal I want to get to. You really need to be that strong and that committed to success if you want to win in business these days.
Really? I asked.
Definitely, Blake. I totally believe that looking silly feels uncomfortable for a minute, but letting your doubts and fears own you feels uncomfortable for a lifetime. God, it breaks my heart to see how tiny people play with their careers and within their lives. The words of the famous psychologist Abraham Maslow came to mind. We are generally afraid to become that which we can glimpse in our most perfect moments. Please hear me on this one. Just because you can't see the inner leader begging to wake up within you and the boundless opportunity that exists outside of you doesn't mean it's not all there. And I really believe that obstacles just show up to measure how badly you want something. Setbacks are nothing more than tests to see if you're ready for the rewards that are available to you. Most people give up as soon as they see a wall. I don't. Okay, guys, Ty said as he started waxing a pair of racing skis. I know you have 2 more teachers to meet before your day is done, and I have to get back to work now, so I'll finish up on the SPARK acronym. The R will remind you to respond versus react when turbulent times hit. The trap a lot of business people fall into when changes show up is to get so panicked that they spend their work hours fighting 5-alarm fires. They get up in the morning, go off to work, and waste all their time being reactive. Rather than rising above all the confusion, they get sucked into being a part of it. They become part of the problem, rather than showing leadership by becoming the source of the solution. Don't make a habit of reacting to challenges at work, dude. Become a master at responding to them. Be grace under pressure. Stop worrying about all the things you can't control and dedicate yourself to improving the areas you can control. Take initiative. And showing initiative just means that you are the person on your team who starts things. Be a go-getter. Make results happen while others are waiting to be led. Remember that the finest hour of every great leader occurred when everything looked like it was falling apart. Rather than just stand there paralyzed by fear, they stayed calm, showed excellence, and turned it all around. What I'm talking about here is having some serious game. What I'm really speaking about is having raw drive and the superior ability to block out the noise in this age of overwhelming distraction. Always remember that initiative and hard work is the warm-up act for a headliner called success. I learned the importance of drive and the value of hard work in the military. The more effort I put in, and the longer I practiced the skills we were taught in basic training, the better I became. I guess it's easy to forget that to get great at anything, we need to put in the time. And the K in SPARK? I asked. It will remind you to offer kudos. Being a leader without a title involves being inspirational and uplifting in a world that all too often celebrates the worst of things. It'll remind you to shine a light on people. It'll help you remember that people need to be appreciated for even the smallest things that they do in the face of adverse and stressful times. Go through every day of the rest of your life being one of those rare individuals who encourages the efforts of others, who looks for what's good in people, and who applauds even the smallest positive act that they do. Most people think that leadership is about correcting and criticizing others when they are doing things wrong. But that's not true. Real leadership has so much to do with applauding others when they are doing things right. Now, as you give greater kudos to your teammates, remember that few of us know what to do with sincere praise. But just because your praise might not be fully received, doesn't mean your praise shouldn't be well delivered.
Excellent point, Ty. I've sometimes fallen into that trap, becoming afraid of really appreciating someone for fear of rejection. I need to overcome that, I admitted.
That's good, Blake. Anyway, just commit yourself to becoming a passionate celebrator of the great work that those around you are doing. Recognize excellence, praise good work, honor mastery. Don't wait for your manager to do all that. You do it. Lead without a title. Lead without a title, dude. The second leadership conversation of the Lead Without a Title philosophy. Turbulent times build great leaders. The five rules. Speak with candor. Prioritize. Adversity breeds opportunity. Respond versus react. Kudos for everyone. Instant action step. First, write in your journal about the single biggest opportunity to lead positive change in your organization. Then, record why you are resisting it. Finally, list the three most engaging rewards that will come to you if you go to your edge and initiate the change. Leadership quote to remember. Life begins at the end of your comfort zone. Neil Donald Walsh. Chapter 6. The Third Leadership Conversation. The deeper your relationships, the stronger your leadership. The most important single ingredient in the formula of success is knowing how to get along with people. Theodore Roosevelt. You get the best out of others when you give the best of yourself. Harry Firestone. As Tommy and I drove up to the New York Public Library, I expressed my thanks to him for bringing me to meet Ty. In our short time together, this former ski champion had an exceptionally strong influence on me. Both Ty and Anna had done something that, without a doubt, was causing transformation. After meeting those two special leaders, it became strikingly clear to me that a key focus of Leaders Without a Title was just that, to cause transformation and make things better. As we made our way to our destination, Tommy and I went even deeper into the meaning of leadership and the methods by which it can be shown. We discussed how there is now a call on the lives of every single one of us alive today to lead without a title and shift from all traces of victimhood into daily commitment toward leadership. We reflected on the "you need no title to be a leader" principle of the philosophy that Anna had so generously shared, along with reviewing the five rules of the IMAGE acronym that I could now use to ensure that all I'd learned would be translated into fantastic results. Tommy and I then vigorously dissected the turbulent times build great leaders principle that the unforgettable snow god Ty Boyd had just revealed to me, along with affirming the power of SPARK and how anyone could use the acronym's five practices to shine brightly in a world with too much darkness. And I continued to candidly express my concern that though I felt I'd already experienced profound changes through the conversations with the teachers, I worried about slipping back into old ways and losing the incredible gifts that I'd received over the past hours of this most unusual day.
"You're not going to fail," promised Tommy. "Just start off with the baby steps that will soon grow into habits. It's sort of like walking a new path in the woods that you've never traveled before. At first, it's unclear and you feel a little lost, but the more you walk it, the more familiar it gets. And soon you find yourself with the ability to walk it with your eyes closed. Leading without a title will soon become second in nature. Remember, small daily improvements over time lead to stunning results. Change is always hardest at the beginning, but the good news is that it'll only get easier, and you'll only feel better, Blake the Great,"
Tommy offered encouragingly, addressing me the way Anna did a few times when we were back at the hotel.
"Thanks. I really appreciate the support. And I'll always have you to count on anyway, right? I mean, you're my mentor now," I said confidently.
Tommy fell silent as we continued to draw closer to the library.
"I'll be here for you as much as I can be here for you, Blake. I'm 77, not sure what my future holds for me. But have no worries, my friend. It's all good."
I wasn't quite sure what to make of Tommy's comment, but he began to smile again, so I didn't think much more about it.
"Two more meetings and then we're done, Blake.
two more teachers, and then you'll know the four principles of the Lead Without a Title philosophy. You'll be in a state of heightened readiness to return to the bookstore and back to your personal life with all the insights and practices you need to show up at your leadership best. And as you work at world class, not only will your career with Bright Mind Books fly, but also your levels of personal fulfillment will soar. Makes me think of what John F. Kennedy once said. The definition of happiness is the full use of your powers along the lines of excellence. By the way, the teacher we are about to meet spent much of his career in Shanghai. He used to be the CEO of a multi-billion-dollar technology outfit that employed over 25,000 people. Staggeringly smart guy, I should tell you. A little like yours truly, Tommy said with a grin as he put on a particularly cool pair of blue-tinted sunglasses that he pulled out from the glove compartment of his Porsche. The guy was definitely a work of art, a genuine original. I hoped he'd stay in touch long after this day we were sharing ended. It was so clear that Tommy was not only a stellar model of a leader without a title, he was a superb example of a wonderful human being. We needed many more of his kind. It was nearly 3 p.m. by the time we walked up the grand steps of the New York City Public Library and then into its main hall. Soaring ceilings and majestic corridors met us as we walked quickly, eager to get to our next meeting. I felt peaceful being there, not only because Tommy was next to me, but also because I was once again surrounded by books.
I'm taking you up to the rooftop, Blake. I bet you've never been up there.
No, never seen it, I agreed. Actually, I didn't even know there was something worth having a look at up there.
There is, my friend. Oh, but there is, Tommy replied mysteriously as we rode the painfully slow elevator to the top.
As we exited, I was astonished by what I saw. Simply moved. No, awed. Overlooking the breathtaking skyline of New York City was a huge stone terrace covered with a spectacular rooftop garden. Dazzlingly colorful flowers were organized in neat rows from one end to the other, with labels on many of them identifying what they were and where they came from. Intricately carved stone statues with ancient Chinese characters etched upon them decorated the space, while splendid garlands of fresh orchids had been delicately hung from the walls. The fragrance in the air was beyond incredible. It was all quite magical, and classical music piped through a sound system. I'd never seen anything like this. All of a sudden, a man darted out from behind one of the wooden flower-filled planters. I was startled. I couldn't see his face because he wore a plastic mask similar to the one worn by the Phantom of the Opera. And the stranger kept chanting the same words over and over again like some monk performing his morning affirmations. It's all about people. It's all about people. It's all about people. I grew frightened. I immediately looked over at Tommy to make sure he was safe. I had no idea what this unpredictable and frenetic wild man was capable of. Let's go, I shouted.
Let's not,
he shot back, completely unfazed. Tommy didn't appear to be the slightest bit concerned. He stood firmly among the rows of beautiful flowers with his arms crossed and a look of utter amusement sweeping across his face. Soon, a smile appeared.
Now, Jackson, we mustn't scare the newbie, Tommy stated.
The stranger stood still. His mask slowly came off. He turned out to be a particularly gentle-looking man somewhere in his 60s, I guessed. He looked a little like a cross between Sean Connery and Confucius. I know that might be a bit hard to picture, but that's how he appeared to me. And the warmth of his personality was instantly evident. This must be the famous Blake from the bookstore, the man spoke kindly. He shook my hand with both of his, in the way a master politician might. I not only relaxed, realizing this was the third teacher, but also began to feel quite important by the way I was being described. This man seemed utterly focused on me. The world around him didn't seem to matter. I'd heard about individuals with the developed ability to make others feel as if they were the most respected people in the room. This teacher was clearly one of them.
Blake, I'd like you to meet Jackson Chan. He's another close friend of mine.
Come on over here, Blake. Didn't mean to scare you. I just wanted to get your heart pumping a little and to offer you some excitement in this terrifically boring world too many of us live within. Life's become pretty serious for most of us these days. Everyone's so occupied with keeping on top of too many things too much of the time. We need to lighten up and have more fun. I was just trying to make you laugh. I apologize if I went too far. You looked sort of concerned.
Oops, Jackson offered with sincerity.
No worries. KMF,
I replied, effortlessly applying one of Ty's leadership lessons.
I was surprised how much of what I'd learned was sticking with me. Maybe this system that Tommy was exposing me to had some special design to it that I wasn't aware of, one that made it easier to adopt than I had previously imagined. And as both Anna and Ty had mentioned, the acronyms served to make the rules unforgettable. At our first meeting, Tommy had told me that the learning would be automatic. I now began to sense that he spoke words of truth.
I see he's met Ski Boy, Jackson said jokingly.
Yeah, we just finished up with Ty before we came over here. Thanks so much for making time for us,
said Tommy graciously.
Always a joy. How is Ty, anyway? In all seriousness, Blake, you just met a genius at the art of turning difficult conditions into dazzling results.
And he's a lovely person, noted Jackson affectionately.
He was great. Full passion and insights, as always, replied Tommy. He asked me to give you his very best wishes and said he knows he'll be seeing you soon.
Great, said Jackson warmly. So, Blake, I hear you're a vet. Before we start, I need to say thank you. I'm ever so grateful, were the simple words he used to express his appreciation.
You're welcome, Jackson, was my genuine response.
So, what can I get for you both? Jackson asked politely. I have coffee, tea, or water, and I just made a fresh batch of chocolate chip cookies, the kind with the really chewy chocolate chunks inside,
he added, sounding more like a first grader than a former superstar CEO.
The cookies sound perfect, I replied, as our host whisked away for just a moment through a sliding door and then reappeared with a tray full of cookies that reminded me of my mom's baking. The aroma of the goodies made me feel a little melancholic. I missed my mom. A lot.
So you sort of hang out here on this amazing terrace and eat cookies all day, I said lightheartedly, regaining my footing.
Sort of. Jackson replied, biting into one and taking the time to savor it, his eyes closed.
He's the gardener up here, Blake. The great visionary responsible for taking an area that was nothing more than a mess of dirt and concrete and remaking it into this wonder that you now get to behold. He saw what most people would think is a dump and envisioned an oasis of beauty up here. And more important, he acted on that vision to generate the spectacular results that you are now witnessing.
The garden was gorgeous. Jackson must have been a creative superstar in his previous life as a businessman.
Very impressive, I agreed. I haven't seen anything like this in my entire life.
After I gave up my CEO title a few years back, I returned to New York City. Shanghai was amazing, but I missed this place too much. I needed to come home. I was fortunate not to have to work due to the success of my business career, so I decided to pursue my greatest passion in life, gardening. When one of my friends on the board of directors of this library brought me up here one morning to show me the view, I had my eureka moment. I decided right then and there to transform this space into the most marvelous garden anyone around here had ever seen. It's been one of my very best wins, Blake. We plan to open it up to the public soon. That way, everyone can enjoy the gift that we are fortunate enough to be experiencing right now.
And will you welcome visitors with that mask of yours? I asked playfully. Scared the living daylights out of me, to be honest.
Jackson smiled, appreciating my now spirited attitude. I like this kid, Tommy. Thanks for bringing him up here. One of my personal commitments is to be surrounded with only good, passionate, and positive people who make me feel happy. I can tell he's one of my tribe.
So let's get down to business, Jackson said, swiftly shifting gears.
I know you've probably heard a lot about the lead without a title philosophy by now. Tommy has been one of our best students, so you sort of lucked out running into him.
He sort of ran into me, I replied, looking over at Tommy, who gave me an affectionate thumbs-up sign.
Great. Okay. My job today is to share the third leadership principle of the philosophy with you, along with an acronym that explains the five practical rules you can apply to make it a reality for you.
Which is? I asked in anticipation.
It's a principle that, unfortunately, is all too often forgotten
in this extremely fast-moving and technology-driven world we find ourselves doing business in. And I will express it in a single line. The deeper your relationships, the stronger your leadership. The main business of business is to connect with and add value to people. That's such an extremely important point to remember as you build out your career and craft a richly rewarding life.
One of the things I was recognizing as I met each of the teachers was that while they were primarily sharing powerful ideas that would help me lead within my organization, each one of them emphasized the importance of also leading a happy and meaningful life. That made a lot of sense to me. I was now already fully committed to leading without a title and expressing the absolute best within me when I returned to work on Monday. I was feeling so inspired and ready to play full out. But more and more, I was also becoming enormously dedicated to reinventing my personal life. My tour of duty had left me confused and hopeless. My girlfriend and I were having so many problems. My health wasn't great, and I hardly ever seemed to have much fun. Now, I was finally ready to make some real improvements, and I had the ideas and tools to make them with.
Business really is all about people, Blake. An enterprise is nothing more than a human venture that brings people together around some marvelous dream that inspires them to express the fullest of their talents and contribute rich value to those they serve. With all the technology, disruption, competition, and transition in the business world today, a lot of us have forgotten that the whole game is about relationships and human connections. With the pace people work at, it's easy to sacrifice relationships in pursuit of results. But the irony is that the stronger the bonds between you and your teammates, as well as the customers you work for, the stronger the results. Actually, I should add that another purpose of business is to be acutely helpful. I know that sounds simple, but business is pretty simple. And the most successful business people and the greatest organizations stick to the fundamentals rather than making things too complicated. Business is a vehicle to help other human beings, to engage employees so they realize their human potential, and to help your customers achieve their highest aspirations.
That feels so right, Jackson. This idea that business is primarily a pursuit to help other people.
Truth always feels right, came the gentle reply.
I took in his words, and then added, it seems the dominant belief of society is that business is purely about making money.
True, but here's an encouraging concept to consider. As you awaken your inner leader and then deliver more value to your stakeholders than anyone could possibly expect, the inevitable result has to be people beating a path to your front door. You not only will feel the deep sense of meaning that comes from doing good, but the profits flowing into your organization will blow your mind. Money follows contribution. The more value you create for all your constituents, from your teammates to your customers, the more your organization will see incredible financial success, and the more you'll win in your own career.
So, all I need to concentrate on is treating people well and being remarkably helpful in every possible way, and personal success will be the inevitable result?
Pretty much. I told you that business is a simple thing. We just make it harder than it needs to be. Smart business people keep it easy.
This all makes so much sense, and yet it's interesting to me how this philosophy is so uncommon in the world today.
Common sense isn't very common anymore, Blake. But it's all changing, and it's all changing quickly. And people who don't understand this new way of doing business will be left behind. The old values that people once operated under are broken. They just don't work in these completely different conditions we find ourselves in now. Technology, globalization, and the massive upheaval going in society have created a new business universe. It would be sheer madness to think you can get by using the same old tactics in a completely new world. And those who resist changing and fearfully hang on to tradition will become extinct, like other dinosaurs who just couldn't evolve as conditions shifted millions of years ago. The organizations that will own their industries and build globally beloved brands will be those who grow leaders without title through every level of the enterprise, and those who put people and their relationships with them first. I looked around at the garden and reflected on Jackson's teaching. Anyway, what I'm really suggesting is that you really must treat people exceptionally well if you are really serious about reaching your highest potential in business. Go to the wall for your customers and do your part to develop the abilities of your teammates.
Isn't employee development my manager's job, Jackson? Or for the gang up at Human Resources? I asked sincerely.
Not under the new model of leadership you've been learning today, my friend. Not if you want to lead without a title. If you want to win, you need to help others win. And part of that is doing all you can do to build a high-performance culture within your organization. One where everyone understands how excellent they can be. And so, part of your job now becomes unleashing the greatness in people who've never seen the greatness within themselves, Jackson said inspiringly. He paused and smelled a rose. He then continued, "Don't be a dinosaur, you'll get killed," he added with a raised yet still respectful voice. "Lead without a title. You now know so well you don't need a title to be a leader. You don't have to be a manager to awaken the best in your teammates and to have wonderful influence on your organization's culture. You do not need to be an executive to build tremendous relationships with every stakeholder such that they evangelize the products and rave about the services that you offer. You only need to dedicate each day to expressing your absolute best and making a fantastic difference in other human lives. That's the only thing required, Blake. And if you are surrounded by engaged, excited, and superb people working at the greatest level of their abilities, your organization will do splendidly well, not only in times of prosperity, but also during days of difficulty. If you look at the best companies in America, every single one of them not only had teams of human beings who performed at their peak, they had teams of people who had the most impressive of relationships. You see, Blake, business really is nothing more than a conversation of sorts. And if the culture of the place where you work forgets to grow that conversation and nurture the human connections between each of you, the conversation will soon end, and the business will soon fall.
Jackson walked over to a small toolbox and opened a drawer. He pulled out a package and then walked back to me. Tommy was off admiring the towering skyscrapers and staring at some of the exotic flowers in the garden.
"Here, open this up," Jackson politely instructed.
I followed his request and opened up the package.
In it were a bunch of seeds. "My whole life now revolves around gardening, Blake. It never ceases to amaze me how I can take these sterile-looking little seeds, and with some nurturing and patience, grow them into some of the most wonderful plants your eyes have ever seen. And the same idea lies behind the principle I'm now sharing with you. If you make growing great relationships with people, whether with workers at the bookstore or with the customers whose lives you touch each day, your number one priority, you will have all the success and happiness in your career that you can handle. But like gardening, it takes lots of effort and a huge amount of patience. You need to be constantly watering people and your connections with them, if you know what I mean. But the exceptional rewards you'll begin to see will make it all worthwhile. As the smartest gardeners always say, as you sow, so shall you reap."
"Very interesting, Jackson. I now understand that I've been making excuses these past years. I'd say that because I didn't have a title, I had no power or authority to build our team and shape my organization's culture. I'd complain I was too busy to be helping those around me express their leadership best by awakening their inner leader. I just blamed all sorts of things instead of getting up and doing all I could do. I was just this sad, unsuccessful, and stuck victim."
"And did the people you work with encourage and support you as you went through your work days?"
I paused. "No, not really. I actually don't really feel I fit in. I don't feel like I'm a part of the team. I don't really have the sensation of being connected with anyone."
"No wonder. You aren't putting in the effort to grow your relationship with them. Before today, you might have argued that you simply couldn't afford the time to build better bonds with your teammates. My encouragement would always be that you can't afford not to be spending the time relating with the people you spend most of your waking hours with. Think about it, Blake. You spend the best hours of the best days of the best years of your life among those you work with. Doesn't it make sense to really get to know them and have superb relationships with them? You'll make friends. You'll feel a sense of belonging. You'll have a feeling of an encouraging community all around you. And once your teammates see you starting to support them, they will reciprocate. The law of reciprocity is one of the most powerful of all the laws that run human relationships. When you genuinely help others, they will do anything to genuinely help you. When you show up fully for a teammate, that teammate will show up fully for you. It's just human nature at play. Make others successful, and they'll make you successful. But before someone will lend you a hand, you must touch their heart. Oh, and please remember that leaders without a title help people achieve more as a team than they could have achieved alone. Key point there. Also remember, though, that leaders without a title always make the first move. Don't wait for someone else to reach out to you before you start the connection process. You lead the way. Become the change I most want to see, I asked, paraphrasing the Gandhi quote Tommy shared with me when we first met at the bookstore. Exactly. Give away that which you most wish to receive. That's one of the most valuable learning points I can give to you. If you want more support, give more support. If you want more appreciation, give away more appreciation. If you want more respect, you need to be giving respect first. And then it will all come back to you in a river. Giving starts the receiving process. Cool, was my first thought and reply. Also, keep front and center the big idea that the single best way to inspire your teammates to become the natural leaders they are meant to be is to model leadership mastery yourself. I'm sure you've heard that a bunch of times today, but I need to repeat it because it is essential. Leading by example is one of the most powerful tools for positively influencing change in other people. No one likes to be told to transform. It's our nature to resist being controlled. That's why forcing people to become all you know they can be just shuts them down and makes them feel you're stifling their personal freedom. But when you stand in the blazing white light of your absolute best, you paint for others to see a vision of what's possible for them. The moment you step up to extraordinary leadership in each move that you make, your example easily inspires your teammates to step into their power to shine as brightly. Giving everything you have to rewriting your story of how great you can be motivates every single person you work with to rewrite their own stories of who they can become as leaders and as human beings. Jackson continued speaking passionately as he began to clip around some of the flowers, shifting some of the soil and stopping from time to time to inhale their fragrances. I saw the smile on his face. He clearly loved nature. You're really happy up here, aren't you? I asked. Nirvana, he replied. I was really happy being in business all those years. I never imagined I could take my career so far. Amazing what small, steady improvements each day will do for you over the passage of time. Most of us can get to world class in our careers. Too few of us stay committed to being excellent long enough. I'm sure Tommy told you some of my story and the company I grew with the help of the extraordinary men and women I worked alongside. But I thought you were the CEO, I questioned, a little confused given that Jackson was suggesting he was just one of the many employees at the technology enterprise he worked for. I was. But I never lost sight of the fact that the humblest is the greatest. Only the humble improve, said jazz great Wynton Marsalis. Nothing special ever gets done alone, and the bigger the goal, the more teammates whose help you'll need to reach your mission. The larger the dream, the more important the team. It reminds me of what the mathematician Isaac Newton once said. If I have seen more than others, it's because I have stood on the shoulders of giants. I am all I am because of the people who worked with me as we climbed the mountaintop together and built out that great company. I never lost sight of the fact that every morning they'd leave the comfort of their families and the security of their homes and come to work for me, giving me the best they had to give. So when I reflect on the explosive success we experienced, and when anyone from the media, for example, tries to give me all the credit, I let them in on the secret. It was because of powerful community relationships that we achieved all we did. In other words, we accomplished our remarkable victories because we worked hand in hand. We realized our success because of tremendous collaboration and our feeling that we were in it together. See, an unbeatable organization is really nothing more than a series of great relationships cascading throughout the entire enterprise, all single-handedly focused on some inspirational outcome. Jackson then walked over to a pool of water that had some beautiful white lilies growing in it. He reached into his pocket and pulled out a coin. Jackson leaned over a flower, sniffing the smell. He then handed me the money. "Here, please throw this coin into the pool, but first, make a wish. This is your lucky day." I threw the coin into the water. Tommy was watching me from the other end of the terrace. He still looked as scruffy as when I first met him at the bookstore only a few days ago. He still wore the odd vest, the tattered pants, and the SpongeBob SquarePants watch. But now I saw him for what he truly was, beyond his eccentric exterior. A genuine leader and a generous human being. And I couldn't help but appreciate the giant gift this man had given to me. The gift of learning that I could lead masterfully, regardless of where I worked and the events of my past. I began to worry a little, though. I began to notice more clearly that Tommy was an old man. I wondered how much longer he'd live. I felt a bit sad. "See how the water ripples throughout the pool just because you threw that single coin in it, Blake," Jackson noted. "I can see," I replied easily. "Well, that's what relationships within an organization are like. Everyone does matter, and every teammate's actions count, and each relationship sort of cascades throughout the entire company. One superb relationship inspires the next conversation, which moves on to the next one. And the ripple effect ultimately determines what the culture of the entire place will be like, and the quality of the results the enterprise will achieve. When I was a young intern at the first company I ever worked for, we did a training course that I've never forgotten."
"What was so special about it?" I asked.
"It was special because of what I learned about the importance of building deep, high trust, and spectacularly strong relationships at the end of the workshop. We were given a test to see if we remembered the main ideas taught. The last question was this one. Write the name of our company's janitor, the elderly man who cleans our offices every night." I honestly had no idea. I'd seen him vacuuming and carrying garbage on the nights I'd work late, but I'd never taken the time to get to know him. I just didn't think it mattered. He was just the cleaner. Well, I failed the test. No one could pass without answering that question perfectly. And I received a lesson that day that I still carry with me to this day. If you truly want your business to lead the field, everyone within an organization matters. Everyone within an enterprise is important. Everyone within a business needs to be engaged and connected. That's because the quality of an organization comes down to the quality of the relationships between its individual teammates. Good relationships give you a good company. Extraordinary relationships give you an extraordinary company.
So, what was the janitor's name? I had to ask.
Tim, Jackson replied instantly. Tim Turner. I got to know him after that. And the human being I thought was a nobody turned out to be a man who gave most of his free time to work with disadvantaged children, had read more books on philosophy than I could ever get through in a lifetime, and was one of the most polished conversationalists I've ever known. Everyone you meet, regardless of their title and the way they appear, is someone's son or daughter. Everyone has a story that's worth hearing and knows some lesson worth learning.
Wow, was all I could say.
Jackson fell silent. Tommy didn't tell you this, but I lost my wife to cancer a few years ago, he said, almost whispering.
Very sorry to hear that, Jackson, I responded empathetically.
You don't have to be. Though I was a powerhouse in business and we really built a stunner of a company, I never neglected my relationship with her. I never fell into that trap of taking for granted the person I loved the most. I never lost sight of the importance of our relationship. Now she's gone, but I have no regrets, not one. I still miss her deeply, but I truly have no regrets. Because just as I put people first in my business life, I made my relationship with her my primary priority. Put people first, and everything takes care of itself in so many ways. And we really have forgotten this fundamental leadership truth. The business world is more wired than ever before, but I have to say that business people have never been so disconnected. We have more technology than at any time in history, yet we experience less humanity. And we are clearly more sophisticated than we've ever been, but perhaps we've never been so unwise. What I'm really trying to suggest is that being great at business is all about a glorious focus on people. Believing in them, engaging them, bonding with them, serving them, and celebrating them. If you're really serious about winning in business, become a walking, talking, living, breathing hub radiating positive energy, excellence, and kindness to every person you are fortunate enough to help.
What a way to put it all, Jackson. Thanks so much for sharing openly, and I'll agree with you. People don't seem to have real conversations anymore. There's just too much texting instead of talking. People are having meals together in restaurants, but no one's speaking. People don't even look at each other anymore. People appear to hide from the world with earphones covering their ears and handsets covering their mouths. My parents, God bless them both, didn't have a lot, but every night they insisted on a family meal. We'd share the stories of our day around a communal dinner table. We'd remember happy vacations. We'd laugh together. We'd support each other. We'd open up to one another. That was so important. It's great to hear someone who has been as successful as you've been, Jackson, confirm that relationships are so incredibly important, I said, feeling passionate about the ideas this former superstar CEO was sharing with me.
I'm just a gardener now, he replied with genuine humility. But thanks. And just like I now spend my days growing these beautiful flowers up here on this wonderful terrace, you keep growing each and every one of your connections with your teammates and your customers, and you'll do just fine. And when it comes to your coworkers, please remember that as you nurture the relationship, keep making sure you grow the people. Leaders without a title are all about seeing the best in people and creating culture where they can bloom. The same way a good gardener understands that the soil is mission critical, not only to a plant's survival, but also to its growth, Jackson stated. Some more of his old business speak creeping into the conversation. And also remember that people do business with people they like. People do business with people they trust. People do business with people who make them feel special. Treat others like VIPs. You can use your leadership power to make such a difference at that bookstore where you work, Blake. Your teammates will love you for that, and your customers will flock to you and become your fanatical followers.
I'd love to have fanatical followers, I said enthusiastically. I took a bite of a cookie. Jackson paused. He looked around the garden.
I know you both are on a schedule, and I'll need to finish up some things I was working on up here before I call it a day. But I have 5 very valuable rules I want to share with you, so that you can master the principle of the lead without a title philosophy that you've discovered with me here today.
The principle you've taught me being, the deeper your relationships, the stronger your leadership, I asked, just for clarification.
Right. And just like the other 2 teachers you've met so far, I have my own acronym to help you remember these powerful rules.
Hit me with it. Starting to love those memorable acronyms, I replied happily, as I polished off Jackson's delicious cookie.
Human,
he uttered, as he sat on a beautiful wooden bench. I laughed.
He's good, isn't he?
Shouted Tommy, suntanning in the corner on a teak chair. He'd strangely sprinkled white flower petals around his feet.
Jackson continued, The H stands for helpfulness. As I shared with you earlier, business is pretty much simply about being radically helpful. So one of the most powerful thoughts I can offer you to reach leadership mastery is to always do more than you are paid to do. Your compensation will always be a direct function of your contribution, Blake. How many times do you go into a store or some restaurant and just ache that the people who worked there were really, really, really helpful? It's so rare. Most people are just stuck in this trance. They've become so desensitized to seeing customers walk in the front door, they've begun to take them for granted. They've forgotten that there's a live human being in front of them, and one who essentially puts food on their table every night. helpful is a simple word that is so spectacular if you install it at a DNA level, so it lives at the very heart of the way you work and how you live. Be helpful. No, commit to becoming the most helpful person you know.
Perfect was all I could say. Jackson's words had triggered a flood of thoughts and emotions. Leadership was so much more than I'd ever dreamed it to be. It was not only a way that any person alive today, within any organization, a business, a community, an entire nation, could use their natural power to inspire others to become all they were meant to be. It was also a way for each of us to realize our best potential and create value for the world around us.
You know, Blake, human beings have these core human hungers deep within them, whether they consciously know it or not. Every one of us wants to know that we are expanding our potential and growing as people. Every one of us wants to know that no matter what we do for employment, we are somehow making a difference. And we all want to know that we are living in a way that when we get to the end of our lives, we don't feel we have lived in vain. No one wants to get to their deathbed and look back at a life that counted for nothing.
Those words stopped me cold. I took in a deep breath. I reflected on how I was living. And I realized that unless I made profound changes now, my future would simply present me with more of what I've been experiencing in my past. I didn't want to get to my last day and realize that I've essentially lived the same year 85 times.
Which brings me to the you in human. It represents understanding. To build world-class relationships, you not only need to be astonishingly helpful, it's also imperative that you be masterful at understanding people. And that comes down to one of the most important of all leadership skills, deep listening. Speak less and listen more. Now, you might call being a spectacularly good listener a soft skill, but that wouldn't be accurate, my friend. If it was so soft and so easy, then why is a person who really knows how to listen from the depth of their being such an endangered species? How many people do you know who, when you are speaking to them, make you feel as if the world around them has stopped because they have a genuine fascination with what you are saying and what's about to come out of your mouth next? How many people do you know who listen with such intensity of concentration that it's almost as if they can hear the silence between each one of your words?
No one. Can't even think of one, I immediately replied.
There's not many around. Which smacks of a massive opportunity to stand out far above the crowd and build your reputation as an excellent leader without a title. It's truly quiet out on the extra mile, Blake. That's because so few are willing to do whatever it takes to be out on it. Most people's idea of listening is simply waiting until the other person has finished talking so they can share the reply they've been rehearsing. For most of us, our egos are screaming so loudly we have no ears to hear what anyone else is saying. Most people just can't listen well.
Why not? I asked, fascinated at the idea that leadership has a lot to do with engaged listening.
A combination of things. First, so many among us suffer from collective ADD. So many messages and advertisements and pieces of information bombard us each day that it makes our heads spin. There have never been so many useless distractions available to human beings. It all clutters our minds and consumes our energy. This makes attention such a profoundly scarce and premium commodity. And with everything we're processing, we just don't have that much attention left over for the people who are speaking to us. That's a crime because they feel it. One of the deepest of all human hungers is the hunger to be understood. We all have a voice inside of us. We all want to express it. And when we feel that someone's taken the time to hear and acknowledge it, we open ourselves up to that person. Our trust, respect, and outright appreciation for that person soars.
And so does our relationship with them, I chimed in.
Exactly. Deep listening is one of the bravest and rarest of all of the central acts of real leadership. You know, Blake, a large part of your work at that bookstore is to lift people up in a world that tears people down. And an absolutely brilliant way to do that is to create a space of listening around you that your teammates and customers can step into. You really honor someone by giving them great listening.
Jackson paused. He plucked a daisy and twirled the stem, thinking quietly.
Another reason most of us listen so poorly is ego, as I mentioned.
Really?
Absolutely. The fact of the matter is, most of us are pretty insecure creatures. So when we go to work each day, we want people to think we're